Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Got a special co-host for the entire show today, the one and only, the man who fought City Hall, the man who saved Columbus, the man who unboxed Christopher Columbus, George Bocchetto, my man.
My man, Rich. Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Paisan.
Thank you for inviting me. Absolutely. If we can't do it today, when are we going
to
do it?
Well, that's what I said. I said about a month ago, I was like, we got to get you in here to co-host the Columbus Day
Show. Absolutely.
We got to make this an annual tradition, I think.
Absolutely.
No, it's a big deal. I mean, it's Columbus Day. We got the president announcing the hostages are now free. The president announcing peace in the Middle East, peace in Israel. It's a tremendous, historic day, unprecedented, unbelievable. What a thing to wake up to, right?
Boy, I'll tell you, October is turning out to be one hell of a month.
Yeah, jeez, it is.
With everything going on and the Columbus Day parades and celebrating the return of the Columbus Day holiday in Philadelphia.
Yep, which you fought tirelessly for.
What President Trump has been able to accomplish in the Middle East. It's just been one heck of a month.
Let's start though with the Columbus Day Parade, which was supposed to be yesterday.
Yes.
And you were gonna receive an award.
Yes.
And then they canceled the friggin' parade.
Well, unfortunately, Rich, you know, the weather reports Thursday and Friday with this nor'easter, they were scaring the hell out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the planners, you know, there's flags and there's tents and there's all kinds of things that go into putting on a really great parade. And the planners just were really intimidated by the weather. So they decided to call it off. As you know, the nor'easter never quite hit Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't hit yesterday. It wasn't a nice day, but it was certainly a day you could do a parade.
Sure.
But it was, you know, it's disappointing in that regard. But, you know, there's so much that goes into putting on a parade. I had no idea. There's so much that goes into it that if you really get what the weather that we were supposed to get, would have been a disaster. So someone has to make the decision. It was a tough decision to make. We were all disappointed, but, you know, we'll just do it next year, and we'll do it bigger and better.
You know, I haven't seen you in a little while, but you look a little different than the last time I saw you. Have you been using Rogaine or...
Well, you know, look.
Because, you know, it came out Friday. It's very bad for you, you know, Rogaine.
On Christopher Columbus Day, if you're going to do a special show with Rich Zeoli, you got to look the part. This is how Chris looked when he was sailing those ships, man. You know, they didn't have barbers and manicurists and all that stuff. You know, these guys were rugged. So I thought I'd try to share a little bit in the tradition of Christopher Columbus.
And if you're watching on our YouTube stream, and you should join the fun at 1210 WPHC on our YouTube stream, George is wearing a Columbus wig. It is attached to a hat, I believe.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
All right,
yes.
Good. So easy on, easy off. That's good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that everyone understands the battles that we've had for Columbus Day, the most recent success probably was the fact that it is still Columbus Day in the city of Philadelphia. It certainly is in the United States, and we talked about President Trump's executive or his proclamation, which we'll get into. But as far as the city of Philadelphia goes, Jim Kenney, when he was mayor, decided to single-handedly do what?
He woke up one morning and said, I'm going to issue an executive order. Now, mayors get to issue executive orders, but an executive order is intended to give his minions, people in the administration, policies, and here's the guidelines that we're going to go about. Well, he stepped up and he issued a proclamation or an executive order, and he said, from now on, this is about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, from now on, October 12th will no longer be Columbus Day in Philadelphia. We're going to call it Indigenous Peoples Day. And I said, what in the world would possess a mayor to do something like that, particularly since he doesn't have the authority to do that, even if he wanted to do it?
Right.
Didn't consult anybody, didn't let anybody know he was going to do it. He just woke up one morning and did it. So, of course, we challenged him in court. And, you know, Rich, our whole challenge was not that Indigenous people should not have an Indigenous Peoples Day. Of course they should. You know, they've been through hard times just like every other ethnic group that immigrated here. They were the Indigenous. But, you know, there's 363 other days in the calendar. You can have both. There's room for an Indigenous Peoples Day and a Columbus Day. You don't have to cancel one to do the other. So we took him to court, and one of the spineless judges in the Court of Common Pleas, and by the way, there's a lot with plenty of spine there, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but one of the not-so-nice judges threw the case out, said, no, he can do it. So I took the appeal to the Commonwealth Court, and the court heard the issue en banc, meaning it wasn't just a three-member panel. Every Commonwealth Court judge who exists in the Commonwealth was sitting on this case. And they ruled unanimously that Jim Kenney didn't have the right to do that. He got to return Columbus Day to Columbus, to Philadelphia. And if Jim Kenney knew anything about the separation of powers, he would have known that naming holidays is a legislative prerogative, the legislative branch of government, not the executive branch of government. You can issue proclamations, you can do this, you can do that. But when it comes to naming holidays, it's legislative. The National Columbus Day, that's an act of Congress, a federal act of Congress.
Right.
The state has, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has state laws enacting Columbus Day as a holiday. These are legislative acts, not executive acts. And why are they not executive? Because we don't repose that kind of power in a single individual. This is not a tyranny. Mm-hmm. This is a democracy. And democracies normally work best through elected legislators who have everybody's interests in mind, not just their own. So that was the case, and that's how we got Columbus Day back in action.
That's how the day got back in action, George Baquetto, my special guest host today, but co-host today. But at one point, the statue was literally in a box. So for people that don't know, because we have listeners all over, the statue of Columbus in the city of Philadelphia, do you know when it was first put up there?
It was first put up in Fairmont Park.
Okay.
And it was a gift from Italy, from the Prime Minister of Italy, in 1850.
Wow.
That statue is 175 years old. And it was put in Fairmont Park, and it was there for decades and decades. Then it was moved to Marconi Plaza. Now, Rich, remember this. Unlike the Rizzo statue, which was cast iron, this was a piece of marble, Italian marble, 150 years old. To take that statue down, to try to attempt to take that statue down at this late date, you would destroy it. It would just obliterate. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had an expert go out and do all kinds of testing on it. There's all kinds of fissures and so on and so forth in the marble. It's very, very delicate. So when I got the call one Sunday evening that Kenny was planning on doing the same thing with the Columbus statue that he did to the Rizzo statue,
rip it out of the ground
in the middle of the night, I immediately got on with an emergency judge in Philadelphia, maybe one of the strongest, smartest judges out there, Judge Paula Patrick, and she put an immediate injunction to stop that. And we then went through 4 years of litigation, up and down with the appeals and so on and so forth. We won it every step of the way, and finally the city gave up, and they said, okay, we're going to take the box down. You can have your Columbus statue, you son of a bitch.
But they actually put it in a box.
It was in a box
like in
for
a
2 years.
Like a box?
Yeah. A plywood box. I mean, they built a box around it. You go to Marconi Plaza, it was this huge box.
So you couldn't look at it.
You couldn't see it. It was just a complete affront. And don't forget, Rich, Marconi Plaza's in the heart, the middle of South Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's where the Italians take all their pride.
Right.
That's their park. That's where they do their parades. That's where they have their festivals and everything.
Some of the best food in the world, I would argue, is in that part of the city.
And the affront that Jim Kenney, when he was mayor, did to the Italian community was just unspeakable.
But when he ran, he said he was going to be a friend of the Italian community.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Because he wanted our vote.
Yeah.
And he got the vote the first time around. Mm-hmm. We helped put him in office. So, you know, it was just a terribly disappointing act by a mayor that just completely lost his way, Rich. I mean, when he was a city councilman, and I knew him pretty well, I used to have a beer with him at the Palm here and there. He was a regular guy, you know, hardworking guy, mm-hmm. you know, two-streeter, winning the Mummers. You know, he was one of the guys. He became mayor, Rich. It's like something came over him. He all of a sudden he thought he was something special and something he wasn't. And he went crazy. And he started doing all this stuff. And he started attacking the Italian-American community in Philadelphia like you never could see before.
And
ever.
I think what was so frustrating about it is that for the Italian people, and we got two of us here today, so Zioli and Bichetto, for the Italian people, and so we'll say hello to our friends at the FBI who are listening in. And first of all, and by the way, Marconi, we probably would not be on the radio right now without Marconi.
Oh, I mean, come on.
I mean, the man himself, they give out a Marconi Award for great radio, which I've yet to win, but at some point, you know, I will do so.
They're going to rename you Rich Marconi.
This holiday means a lot because while it honors Christopher Columbus, a lot of people don't realize why it came to be because of the discrimination Italians in this country suffered and the largest mass lynching in American history in New Orleans.
13 innocent Italian-American immigrants were hung all at one time. It was the largest mass lynching in the history of the United States, and they were all Italian-Americans. Mm-hmm. And President Benjamin Harrison was so outraged at what happened and wanted to recognize the Italian people for what they were, hardworking, dedicated immigrants that were trying to assimilate into American culture and everything, that he went to Congress and they passed a federal statute naming the day that Columbus landed, October 12th, as Columbus Day, and it was a federal holiday. And ever since then, it's been a federal holiday until this woke generation woke up, I guess is the expression, and they wanted to engage in all kinds of cancel culture and counterculture and God knows what else. But, you know, to go after Christopher Columbus, they contrived all of these atrocities that he supposedly committed and all the problems and everything. You know, these folks, they're not students of history. Rich, if you read one book, one history book, you'll know that before Christopher Columbus ever arrived, the indigenous people had their own slaves. Mm-hmm. They would enslave the neighboring tribe. They were committing genocide and all kinds of atrocities. That was what was going on then. Christopher Columbus did not bring slavery to America. The indigenous people brought slavery to America. And you can go to any scholarly work, and I've done so. I've read many a scholarly thesis, and that's been the history. But the woke came up with this idea that Christopher Columbus invented slavery and committed genocide and did all these horrible things, and therefore we're going to cancel Columbus Day. We're going to tear down every statute in the country, and we're going to blame the Italians for everything. It's out of control.
I loved President Trump's proclamation the other day.
Oh my goodness!
Because he goes after the left for trying to cancel Columbus.
Yeah.
And he spends all this time about how sick they were trying to cancel him and go after him. And I love that because I thought, you know, it's one thing in a proclamation to acknowledge a day. It's another thing when you do it in a way that goes after your political enemies, and that's exactly what he did. And good, because they deserved it.
Well, you know, it's a cultural thing. You know, when Italian-Americans came here, you know, here's an interesting fact, Rich. You know, most second and third generation Italian-Americans don't speak Italian. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because when the parents immigrated, the first ones, they wanted to be American.
Right.
They wanted English. And they spoke English and only English in the house. They didn't want their children speaking Italian. They wanted to be Americans. And, you know, they're just so ingrained in everything that we've become as a nation, building bridges, arts, politics, the law. I mean, we've had some of our greatest Supreme Court justices were Italian. Mm-hmm. I don't have to convince you, Rich, of everything that Italian-Americans...
Great Scalia. I mean, my personal
scholar.
Favorite. Yeah.
What a scholar.
Yep.
So, but they purposefully wanted to be Americans. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, my grandfather came here. He was a little boy from Caivano, Italy.
Oh, boy.
And so... you know, he knew how to speak Italian, but that was the whole thing. They wanted to be Americans and to be part of the culture and to assimilate into the culture and also respect the Italian heritage, which is why, you know, I always was proud growing up as an Italian-American kid because of that fact. And two things can be true at the same time. You can respect your culture and also assimilate.
And you can respect other cultures.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Nobody in the Columbus family is trying to knock down Indigenous People Day.
Right.
We love it. Have it.
Like you said, it could be tomorrow.
It could be tomorrow. It could be the day after tomorrow. There's a lot of days out there.
We could do it tomorrow. I'm going to have two federal holidays in a row. I'd be okay. I think everybody
would do one on a Friday and one on a Monday. You'd have a great weekend.
Everybody would be thrilled.
I'll go to that parade. I'd be the first one there. Let's have it.
Now, the other issue, too, is you're doing a lot regarding, and we're going to talk about this as the show goes on today with George Bacchetto. We're going to talk about Krasner. We're going to talk about some of the police officers that you represent. We're going to talk about all that. But I was with a great Italian-American on Friday, Jack Cittarelli.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
In New Jersey. And to everybody who came out to that rally in North Wildwood on Friday at the Seaport Pier, thank you for joining us. George, I mean, in all
the years in politics... I listened to the show. It was amazing. Amazing.
In all the years I've been in politics, I've never seen that kind of energy and enthusiasm at a political
Holy
rally.
Holy cow. Oh, well, you pulled it off, Rich. I mean, Jack owes you big time because, you know, when Jack got into the race, they said, oh, my goodness, you have one heck of an opponent here. She's mm-hmm. a woman. She's good looking. She's a former helicopter pilot for the military. She got, you know, she went to this Naval Academy. I mean, she was like, on paper, she's the greatest candidate since Ulysses S. Grant. But, you know, some of the screws started to come loose and some of the things, and Jack's made a race out of it now. And, you know, it could go any way. And Jack's been a great candidate. He, you know, he ran the last time, and he was a great candidate, but didn't. I feel something.
Yeah.
Something's happening in New Jersey.
Yeah,
there's a groundswell. So, don't go to bed early that night.
No. I think what you feel and what you're seeing is very evident of momentum, and he's got momentum. But he also has something else too, George. He's got the eye of the tiger. You know, every time I'm around him and I see him and I look at him, I could tell when he says we're winning this race, he really believes we're winning this race. And that's half the battle, right? You got to believe it.
You know how many times over the last two decades, three decades, Rich, I have heard candidates for New Jersey governor say, and we're going to lower the real estate taxes. Mm-hmm. Real estate taxes in New Jersey are out of control.
I know.
Everybody, I think Cittarelli will do it. I honestly think that if he gets there, someone will finally do that. And it's about time because it's out of control.
I'll tell you, I was thinking about the enthusiasm for this race going into November. And Mikey Sherrill, as the Democrat, you know, they have a significant advantage, but there's no enthusiasm for her. Her voters are voting against Trump. Jack's voters are voting for him
Jack.
And for change. Exactly, George.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
That
You're
is
absolutely
the big
right.
difference right there.
And as you say, Big Mo is on his way
big
into
Mo.
New Jersey.
The Big
and
Mo.
It's going to be a contest, man. It's going to be a great next couple of weeks to see what happens.
Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote. So if you haven't registered to vote yet in Jersey, do it tomorrow, by tomorrow. And then, you know, you got a lot of people engaged to get people out to vote, and then early voting starts in person too. I think part of why Trump won Pennsylvania, George, is because we as Republicans embraced early voting, embraced mail-in voting, all the things we don't love, but we got to work within the system we have.
You got to compete. You have to compete. I'll tell you the other reason why Trump won Pennsylvania. Not that, you know, he didn't have a lot of things going for him, but Kamala Harris made the dumbest VP pick you could ever make in your life. Instead of Josh Shapiro, who was going to deliver the key state in the entire election, she picks Elmer Fudd. It was the dumbest damn—I mean, I can't imagine. And if you noticed when she came out with her book, she said, "And the reason I wasn't happy with Josh Shapiro's interview is he wanted to know what role he was going to play as vice president." Gee, you think? Isn't that a fair question?
Yep.
Don't you want your guy to say, sure, what are we doing? How are we going to be the best team we can be?
Yep.
No, that offended her.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Elmer Fudd, who can't shoot a shotgun to save his life, even though he's out in a wild trying.
Blowing it on his crotch. That was fun to watch.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Tampon Tim was the worst candidate ever. And that's why she lost.
Yeah.
And Trump, you know, I think Trump, frankly, snatched victory from the jaws of defeat in this thing. And the best news he got was that she didn't pick Josh Shapiro. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I'm a Republican, not a Democrat. But I can admire a smart politician and someone that knows how to get elected. And Josh knows how to get elected. Now, he's got a really tough contest coming up with Stacey Garrity.
Yeah, she's
up.
Terrific.
She's going to be terrific. And that's going to be... That's going to be another Jack Cittarelli type story. But at the time, last year, to have picked Elmer Fudd over Josh Shapiro was literally the stupidest thing you could have possibly done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That when that happened, I took such a sigh of relief. I think we all did.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, we are live at the Zlock Performing Arts Center. We got our Big Politics and Pints tonight with Jack Carr, Zioli, Bacchetto, together hanging out today, doing the show live. Hopefully you're on your way to see Jack Carr tonight. 7 p.m. is the event, 7:30. Just go to 1210wphg.com. Get your tickets if you don't have them. There's still some left. It's going to be a great night. Jack is the man. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you the latest on the president in Israel. The hostages are freed. The New Jersey race, the thoughts on last Friday. We'll talk about all of it. We're going to cover all of it. There won't be enough time.
And I got a really interesting shout-out that I want to do when we get back.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. All right, so quick break, coming right back. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I don't know.
It's Columbus Day.
It is Columbus Day. I have to send Sean some recommendations. Maybe a little, I don't know. Who should we get?
Well, wait.
I've listened to Bocelli a lot lately.
Have you ever heard of Mario Biondi?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is he good?
Yeah.
He's Italy's Barry White. He's fantastic. We should get him a little Mario Biondi.
Sean, see if we get a little Mario Biondi.
Absolutely.
For this Columbus Day. Joining me right now in studio on remote here at the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College, the one and only George Bacchetto, former candidate for U.S. Senate, former Pennsylvania State Boxing Commissioner, and attorney at Bacchetto and Lentz, P.C. Boxing, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, you were a pro boxer, right?
No, no.
Well,
only amateur.
But you got paid.
Well, to be the boxing commissioner, I did. Sure.
You never got paid for your fights?
No.
Never, not no. once.
No one. I couldn't raise a nickel for my fights. No one pay me.
How'd you get into boxing?
I got punched in the mouth.
That's it, huh? That's simple.
That's how most people get into boxing.
What's the saying? Everybody has a plan until you get punched
in
Mike the face.
That's Mike Tyson.
That's right?
Mike Tyson's philosophy. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention, Rich. Last evening, I was inducted into the Pennsylvania Boxing Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And I wanted to do a shout out because a couple of three friends that I went to high school with came all the way down from Rochester, New York to be with me at the induction ceremony. And they're now on the road back. It's Jeff and Joe and Sarah. And they came all the way in from Rochester to come to that boxing induction dinner last night.
We had
a great time. And, the whole boxing community was there. And it's just an honor to have been selected. I was not selected for my pugilism, however. I was selected because I was a pretty energetic commissioner. And I changed a few things here and there for the better, I think.
Yeah.
And so we had a great time last night.
You also ran for statewide office in PA.
Yeah.
And as we're looking at our buddy Jack Cittarelli, as we're coming into the final weeks here, he ran twice before statewide.
Well, I ran statewide for the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I ran citywide for the mayor.
But Jack
in 1999.
Jack ran twice.
This is his second statewide run.
I feel like New Jersey and PA are states where if you run once before, it helps you. Like, look at McCormick,
Big time. Big time. Absolutely. There's no question about it. And
so I guess the question is, will we ever see George Paquetto's name on a ballot again?
I don't know. You know, George Paquetto's getting a little older these days.
Yeah, I don't know. Not with that wig or not.
I'll tell you.
He's got his Columbus Day wig on.
Oh, gosh. I only wish they could be on TV with this because, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, Rich, who are you going to laugh at?
But now, the boxing commission, though, so everybody understands that, got to keep the fights honest.
Yeah.
And you got to keep the, what was it, I guess like the mafia out of it or the...
Well, there's some of that, but that wasn't the big thing that we had. Some of the big issues that we had were really towards boxer safety.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a boxer gets knocked out, you know, in many states, next week he's on the card again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get knocked out, you suffer a concussion. So we imposed a rule in Pennsylvania, it had never been done before, that if you get knocked out, you can't be on a pro card for another 6 months. You
mm-hmm.
got to take time off. You got to get out of the gym. You can't just keep taking head blows. Now, it was unpopular with some of the boxers. It was unpopular with some of the promoters. But I wasn't there to make the promoters happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was there to protect the safety of the boxers. I'll tell you another thing. And this is something that I had ambitions for, but you really need a national commission to do this. There should be a limit on how many pro fights a boxer can have. You can't just keep doing that.
A year or forever?
Forever.
Forever.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these boxers, when they're in their amateur ranks, they have hundreds of fights.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds. And then they turn pro, and they have another 50 or 60 or 70. You can't take that much damage. There ought to be a limit on how many amateur fights you have. There ought to be a limit on how many pro fights you have. And don't forget this, Rich. For every fight you see in the ring, that fighter probably did 3, 4, 5 weeks of daily sparring in the gym.
Oh, he's getting punched in the face.
He's getting punched in the head.
Right.
His entire
mm-hmm.
existence.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it. Now, in Pennsylvania, the problem we have, Rich, is we have 50 different boxing commissions. Each state has their own. And they all have their own rules. So if we do things in Pennsylvania the right way, and that's what we try to do, they go to New Jersey or they go to Las Vegas or they go to some other state. But we imposed a lot of safety. I sat every referee down in Pennsylvania, every single one that was allowed. And I regulated the referees and licensed them. I set every one of them down. And I said, when you see a guy in a corner getting hit, You are to stop the fight. I don't care how much the fans boo you or whatever. That's a human being getting pummeled there. You got to stop the fight. All kinds of things like that we tried to do, Rich. And, you know, I'm humbled by the fact that many years later, I've been honored to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's huge.
For doing that.
It's great.
So.
It's fantastic. We should also give a shout-out to the United States Navy. Today's their 250th birthday.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah.
It's a big deal. And we're going to see Jack Carr tonight, who, of course, is a Navy SEAL. So today's a very important day for them.
They brought in some pretty heavy artillery on this Navy and Marine celebration.
Yeah, but
they've got like five ships in the Delaware.
I mean, heard.
Real big boys.
Some people were really bummed because of this storm that they were not going to be able to do some of the activities, right? Some of the events got, I guess, postponed or canceled.
Yeah, some of them did, yeah. And again, you know, the wind and the... And the elements, it's so complicated to put these productions on, mm-hmm. like the Columbus Day Parade that got canceled. But, oh, man, they've...
I was just hoping my son's soccer games were going to get canceled yesterday. I got all excited, thinking I was going to get a day on the couch, but he had all his games yesterday. Every parent was sitting there waiting, going, come on, when's it coming? But
right.
Never happened. His last game was at 4 o'clock yesterday. I came home at 5 o'clock, and I had the meatballs and the brajol and
the gravy.
So now, is it gravy?
Oh, of course.
When it's got meat in it.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
What about when it doesn't have meat in it?
Well, you could go both ways. I still go with the gravy.
You still go gravy, even if it's meatless.
But when you got the brajol in there, man.
Yeah, well, the brajol, obviously.
Definitely, no doubt about that.
Just to show you how we dodged a bullet here on this Columbus Day, and we talked about Kamala Harris, I want to do a little flashback. This is cut number 20. This could have been us today, George, on this Columbus Day, talking about America. So here's Kamala Harris on Columbus Day, cut number 20.
It is an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, as we speak truth about our nation's history. Since 1934, every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story. That has never been the whole story. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past. And we must shed light on it and do everything we can to address the impact of the past on Native communities today.
Well, thank God she didn't win.
Well, you know, look, here's my view on it, Rich. Were they perfect 500 years ago? No, they weren't. But did they usher in, and they were the only ushers in of all these horrible things? No, they didn't. You know, when Christopher Columbus landed, they already had slaves. Indigenous people enslaved other indigenous people. They already had their diseases. Now, you know, the standards back then and the way of life back then was different. And you can look back and learn. There's no question about that. I'm not saying they were angels, but I don't think you just cancel history because you disagree with it. Mm-hmm. I think you try to learn from it. And I think a balanced view is what's needed. Not a one-sided view that we're the worst things that ever God ever created. I don't think we are the worst things that God ever created. But, you know... Thank God she didn't get elected.
Thank God she didn't get elected.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what we could say. Now, George, I have Tony Soprano's response to Kamala Harris here.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
This is cut 21 from The Sopranos, where Tony and Carmela are talking to AJ, who, of course, now is being indoctrinated by all of his liberal teachers, you know, about how terrible Columbus was. Cut 21.
That is just one person's opinion, Anthony.
What, football again? He's not going to get hurt. He's a tough kid.
Oh, Jesus.
We're having a discussion about Christopher Columbus.
They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them.
Subjugate?
and make them do whatever we want. That doesn't sound like a slave trader to you?
George Washington had slaves, the father of our country.
Well, what's your point?
His history teacher, Mr. Cushman, is teaching your son that if Columbus was alive today, he would go on trial for crimes against humanity like Milosevic and, you know, Europe.
Your teacher said that.
It's not just my teacher, it's the truth. It's in my history book.
So you finally read a book and it's...
Tony.
Look, you had to walk in Columbus's shoes to see what he went through. People thought the world was flat, for crying out loud. Then he lands on an island with a bunch of naked savages on it. I mean, that took a lot of guts. You remember when we went to Florida, the heat, and those bugs?
Well, like it took guts to murder people and put them in chains.
He was a victim of his time.
Who cares? It's what he did.
He discovered America is what he did. He was a brave Italian explorer. And in this house, Christopher Columbus is a hero. End of story.
Now, Matt DeSantis, my executive producer, points out something. Matt, what is AJ, Tony's son, reading in that clip?
He's reading Howard Zinn.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Howard Zinn has just so distorted the truth. But, you know...
An inspiration for Dr. Wilfred Riley, who wrote the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me.
Just to give you an idea of what Christopher Columbus was facing, it's almost like he was the first astronaut to go to Mars. When they set sail on the first voyage, his crew... Not only on his ship, but the other two ships. They were so frightened because they didn't know what to expect, and they did think the Earth was flat, and they did think they were going to go over the edge. His crew actually sabotaged his ships. When they went into port to reprovision, they damaged the keels, and they did all kinds of bad things. They wanted to untrack Christopher Columbus, and he was courageous, and he was intrepid. Now... You know, he found a whole different world, and he found a world that wasn't so kind. And I wasn't there, and Kamala Harris wasn't there. So we don't, you know, it's hard to know the truth. I know there's been a lot of distortion out there of what he was or what he did. But, you know, it's 500 years ago.
Imagine thinking that you're going to go to the edge of the world and fall off.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine that.
It's frightening. And
what kind of monsters you might encounter, and sea monsters, and because I mean a lot of those guys back then heard stories.
Oh my goodness!
Right, so they didn't know what the hell they were getting into.
They were scared, poopless.
Yeah,
they really were.
But I also, you know, as an Italian, I think it's important to note that nobody ever talks about why we came up with Columbus Day and how unfair the Italian immigrants had it. All these people who are pro-immigrant. And we all are. We just want it done legally. But they never talk about the struggles the Italians had coming to America, how they were not considered to be equal people. They were thought to be criminals and thieves. And
you know, on the original census forms, you know what they counted Italians as? Brown. Mm-hmm. There was a box that you checked in the census. They weren't Caucasian. They were brown. That's the way they, you know, that's how we came here. That's what we were
regarded as. And the discrimination of Catholics faced?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, nobody talks about that part of the story. And the fact of the largest mass lynching in American history, that's glossed over like it never happened. The point is, a lot of people had it tough. And there's no reason why you can't honor, the Italians and also honor other groups as well, which is all that we're saying here today. The Italian in Jersey, Jack Cittarelli, we had an incredible rally for him on Friday.
Unbelievable.
Excuse me. We must have had, throughout the day, probably 3,000 people coming in and out, because people kept coming in and out. It went all the way with a candlelight vigil for Charlie Kirk. I tell you, George, Charlie Kirk's assassination has renewed, especially in young people.
It's a wake-up
call, right?
Absolutely. Of the highest order. A wake-up call of the highest order.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that coming up on the election in Jersey. But we also have elections in PA.
Yes, we
and
do.
I don't want to gloss over that fact. We have judicial retentions. So I want you to explain that for us a little bit so we can understand how important these judge races are.
Well, unlike federal court judges who are appointed for life, you know, once a federal court judge is appointed, you can't get rid of them. Mm-hmm. They're go forever. I've been in front of judges that were close to 90 years old. They couldn't hear, they couldn't see, and they're still sitting on the bench. In Pennsylvania, they do things a little differently. Under the Constitution, you're elected. You're not appointed. And your election is for a 10-year term. So at the end of the 10 years, you have to be reelected. And it's called a retention vote. And either vote yes or no. And right now, there's a lot of people up, a lot of judges up for retention vote. Most significantly, three members of the Supreme Court, Donahue, Wecht, and Dougherty. And they're yes or no votes. And all three of them are Democrats. And all three of them have had a very substantial influence on the direction that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court goes and takes on important issues. So that's a very important election coming up. And you're seeing, Rich, you're seeing a lot of money being spent by both sides, Republican National Committee, Democrat National Committee. A lot of money being spent on both sides for or against the retention vote. But even some of our municipal judges, for example, a municipal judge near and dear to my heart, Jackie Frazier Lied. Mm-hmm. She's now up for retention vote. So every judge that's elected, Common Pleas Court, Municipal Court, Supreme Court, all these judges, they get a 10-year term, and then they have to go through a retention election.
So this matters. What should people be thinking about as they head into Election Day, why it matters who these judges are?
Well, look, if you don't vote, it's like you're not taking part in our system.
I mean, they decide a lot of things related to elections.
Oh,
right?
My goodness,
election integrity,
yes.
Election law.
Of course. Things that affect your everyday life. every issue that's out there is on
and
the
how
table.
How many judges statewide are we talking about here?
That are up for retention now?
Yeah.
I think it's probably one-tenth of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, just generally speaking, you know, each judge is elected for a 10-year term. You have judge elections every year. So every year, a tenth of them at all levels are up for retention.
Is there anyone you really want to see get the boot?
No, I don't. And, you know, in the history of Pennsylvania, there's only been one Supreme Court judge that didn't win retention. And it was Russell Nigro, Supreme Court Justice Russell Nigro. And he lost it because he had the misfortune of serving at a time and being up for retention election at a time when the legislature did that secret in the middle of the night pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
And the voters were outraged and they took it out on Russ Nigro. And he was a good judge. He was Democrat, but he was a good judge. I think the judges we have now on the Supreme Court, they're good judges. They're dedicated. They're hardworking. Justice Dougherty, for example, I can't say enough about him. He's a terrific, terrific judge. I'm a Republican. They're Democrats. But I call it like I see it. And I know there are good judges out there. Not every judge is a good judge. There's some shouldn't be, but we have some really good judges out there that are up for retention.
Well, when we get back, we got to talk about a terrible prosecutor that we have.
Oh,
he's not even a prosecutor. He's really a district attorney. He's a defense attorney. We're going to talk about Krasner. We're also going to talk about Israel and the president's big announcement today. I do want to play one clip for you. This is from the president from today as he was over in Israel and he was announcing this peace deal. And the idea is that, yes, this peace deal will hold. So if I could, Sean, let's cue up cut number 10. President today, the war between Israel and the terror group Hamas is over. Cut 10.
President Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, has not gone so far as to say the war is over. In your view, is the war between Israel and Hamas over?
War is over. The war is over. Okay. Do you understand that?
Mr. President, is the ceasefire going to hold? Are you confident the ceasefire will hold?
Say it.
Are you confident that the ceasefire is going to hold?
I think so. I think it's going to hold. I think people are... A lot of reasons why it's going to hold. But I think people are tired of it. It's been centuries, okay? Not just recent. It's been centuries. I think people are tired of it.
All right, when we get back, we'll talk more about that as we continue. The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. He's my buddy, he's my friend, and he is my dentist, and he's the master of implant dentistry. So go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria. VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. All right, we got a lot more to get to as we continue live from the Zlock Performing Arts Center with my special co-host today, George Bacchetto, as we celebrate and honor Columbus Day and get ready for our big event tonight with Navy SEAL Jack Carr for our Talk Radio 1210 WPHG Politics and Pints. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
George Bacchetto. All right, we got it. I went a little long there in the last break. So what we're going to do is we got a lot of great audio clips from the president. Had a press conference today. We talked about Iran. He was in Egypt. He said the Gaza peace deal really started when they took out the Iranian nuclear capabilities. Iran will come along. They've been battered. They've been bruised. We're going to talk about all that today as the show gets going. And of course, a lot of reaction from the huge rally we had on Friday. In North Wildwood, it was an absolutely amazing day, and I think Jack Cittarelli has got this. So we're going to do that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back live from the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College. Scioli Bacchetto, don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.